Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray. I'm the head author of O-Rock.
Author, not writer this time. Author, interesting.
See, because I'm an author, so I know more than one word to describe things.
Well, author has, am I crazy? It has kind of like a classier feel to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Than writer? Like, author feels more like someone who writes fiction. Like, writer feels more like nonfiction to me. I don't know.
Really? Okay, so nonfiction is less classy? I always thought, like, nonfiction
oh, no.
was more
oh, no.
classy.
Oh no, why did I say that? Oh no, I'm digging myself into a hole. All right, how you doing today, Michael?
I'm fine.
Well, I am glad to hear that. So we've been gone for a couple months. We missed last month, but I think it's fair to say we have a pretty good reason for it. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh yeah, it was because the new game. Yeah.
Yes. So I had been saying, I believe last time we talked, I was like, yeah, this thing's not going to be finished until April.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong. We got too many Santas out the door. Somehow, you can now go play it right this second. In fact, you should, while it's still the month of Christmas. It's on Steam and itch.io. And really, if you ever wanted to live out your dreams of dating the mall Santa Claus, this might be your best way to do it, especially, you know, in these challenging pandemic-y times.
Because in real life, I don't know, there was a Santa at the mall in real life, but that Santa seemed very bored.
Oh, was the Santa behind, like, plexiglass or anything like that? I've seen some pictures like that.
Santa has a mask, I believe.
Yeah.
That Santa had a mask, yeah. Which is weird, because I've been unable to find a mask. Like, my favorite mask, the one I've been using for months, has disappeared. And it's like, okay, I need an extra one. I need a backup, but I've been to, like, four stores, and they just don't even sell masks anymore.
Oh, that's such bad timing, though. I feel like they should sell. I guess I don't know what it's like on your side of the country, but it's just getting worse and worse and worse over in New York State.
So in Oregon, we never got rid of the mask mandate, so you have to wear a mask indoors at all times. That never got removed, yeah. So that's been around, I think there was like a 1 week thing this year where they said, okay, if you're vaccinated, you can go outside and do stuff without a mask. And that was like about a week. And then it went back to, nope, everybody wears a mask at all times.
Yeah, kind of seems like that's what we should have done. But no, now we have my county, as of recording, has 10 times the number of cases it did this time like a month and a half ago. We have, I crunched the numbers, 1/9 of the total cases we've had since the beginning of the pandemic are just from the last 2 weeks. So, you know, it could be going better.
I guess, yeah. Are you guys doing the weekly reporting or the daily reporting?
We have daily, yeah. I get daily numbers from my county's health department. They tell us the number of new cases, the number of, like, currently active cases and the current number of hospitalizations day to day. They tried to stop doing it, actually, at, like, the beginning of the summer when things were actually... That brief window, probably when they closed your... They stopped your mask mandate. Mm-hmm. They tried to say, oh, we're just going to do it weekly now. The numbers are so low. This thing's basically done. But that did not last long. So we get the daily updates.
Interesting. I don't think we're having daily updates. I could check. The most recent update this is a depressing way to start the podcast. I was like, I was gonna talk about more stuff, but I would just get us more depressed. Let's change the topic.
I think maybe I should go back to insulting journalists and biographers.
Oh, journalists, man. Those guys. Talk about fan fiction. I've read a lot of newspaper articles which are fan fiction. My favorite.
So video games,
unless it's fan fiction for somebody I don't like, and then video games. The new video game came out. There's a Santa Claus. You can't romance Santa Claus in real life because he's hiding right now. Yeah. So,
and you know what? There's no COVID in our game. So that's nice. There was a background that I didn't end up using, but there was a background where there was a person in it who was wearing, like, noticeably wearing a mask, and I tried to Photoshop the mask off of their face, and it looked grotesque. It looked like they had skinned someone else and was wearing their face instead. So I did not keep that background in the game.
It's, yeah, similar situation with the Lost Oregon City Gold, where I think we've covered up both the big signs that had stuff about COVID in them. So
right, yeah, those are the things we like turned them into Oregon state flags, right?
Yeah, one's an Oregon state flag, and then I guess the other's just you can't see. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that's right. And there were those like what are they called? The folding signs that are on the ground. Didn't you say mm-hmm. those were all about like COVID restrictions and stuff?
Those were all about COVID. All about COVID. Yeah. Yep. And now it's a sign for lollipops.
Why are we
so
back on COVID?
One.
Wait. Why are we? How did this happen? Gosh darn it.
I can keep going with the sign stuff. So the sign.
Please. Yes.
Is now. It was a sign I took from. Well, it was a gas station. And now there's a bonus section in the Lost Oregon City Gold where I have a picture of the original gas station sign. So that's something new, I guess.
Cool. Yeah, I saw that you've sent me a new version of the game to check out. I have not checked it out yet. Mm-hmm. I'll get that on my agenda. But yeah. So, yeah, getting Santa, too many Santas out the door was kind of a trial, so I basically got to the point with the game where I realized that I think it was the fourth pathway. I finished it, and I'm like, this only took me like 10 days. These things are getting way shorter. We could probably get this out before Easter, maybe even before New Year's. So it was like that moment in every movie where the person like goes to their desk and just kind of shoves everything off of it and lays out the big schematics of what they're really going to focus on. I had that sort of moment with Too Many Santas where I just like pushed everything else I was working on to the side. And I'm like, okay, Too Many Santas. That's my full-time job now. We're getting this stupid thing out the door before Christmas so that it's not an Easter game because that was a really bad idea. Mm-hmm. So we ended up making some changes to the game as a result. Let's see, I had a list. It was the list that I emailed you before.
I got an email.
So we ended... this is from a while ago.
Okay, this should be news to me. And it shouldn't be news to me. Yeah.
No. But yeah, so we ended up. I had to make some changes to the scope of the game in order to get it out. One of the first things we ended up cutting, and we probably talked about this already, was that the CG scenes we were planning for the end of each good pathway, those were like the first thing to go out the door. We figured there was not going to be enough time both to hire someone and to actually get the art. But also there was no money to do it anyway. So, that ended up being fine to cut. I also was originally at one point going to have sort of an endings gallery, like in Cat President, you know, where you, like, once you complete the good ending, you unlock both the good and the bad, and then you can go play through them. But again, there just wasn't time to make that work, so now you just sort of have an endings checklist instead.
Oh. Is there, which, like, a plan to introduce an endings gallery at an update or some point?
I mean, if it's something that people ask for, I will. But I don't know how necessary it is, especially with this game where the pathways are so short and it's pretty straightforward how you get the two endings.
Yeah.
Just hold down the control button and select all the good options or all the bad options. It doesn't take more than a minute.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I'm trying to think how on earth would I program that, and it'd just be a bunch of, I guess, hot spots. I don't even know. Yeah.
What do you mean for the endings gallery thing?
Yeah.
If I recall,
just copy paste the code from Cat President. Yeah, that's probably the easiest way to do that.
Yeah, I think. Gosh, I'm trying to remember. I remember for I think I did it different between Cat President 1 and 2.
Oh,
because I ran into problems because the character you type in the character's name, right?
Mm.
So I was trying to figure out what to do for these endings because, like, you play through the DJ Nibbles pathway, and you'll have named your character something, and then I had to consider when you go to the endings menu and play through the ending again, should it then remember the name that you used for the DJ Nibbles pathway? Or should it use the name you used most recently? Should it use the default name? Should you have to input a new name?
Oh, that's
complicated. Right? Right?
Yeah.
So for the first game, I did a crazy thing, which was I made all of the endings, like, I coded them all individual. Like, I coded them twice in the game, basically. One is the version that you see when you play through the game, and then there's a second version that you play through when you go to them through the menu. So for the menu versions, I actually did have the game remember what name you specifically typed in when you played a specific pathway, and then it remembered to use that name when you went back to that ending. As you can imagine, that was a tremendous amount of work, tremendous amount of code, and I don't think there was much of a payoff for it, really. So, I believe in Cat President 2, I just had it use whatever name you used most recently, and that worked fine. I didn't hear any complaints about it.
Hmm.
But yeah, all of that got scrapped for too many Santas. let's see, any other changes? I end up using a few more stock photos than I really would have liked to use, just for random customers mostly. Like, that was one of the last things I did, was sort of fill out our cast of characters with free stock photos where I could find multiple poses for the same person.
Well, yeah, and also you had people... I've been meaning to ask for the longest time, so how do you do the eye-blinking thing? Because... I don't remember taking pictures with my eyes closed, right? So how did you get, like, my eyes closed
so
in
you
the
actually,
pictures of me?
You actually did have some with your eyes closed, I think, that had been taken perhaps accidentally.
Okay, never mind. I know who to blame for that. Yeah. That is definitely my wife.
Look, I'm not gonna name names. But...
She took my photos, and she seems to think that the best photos are the ones that I'm not posing. So she's like, okay, I need you to do an angry face. And she thinks that, like, the in-between photos. So it's just, I mean, we gave you 500 pictures. So, like...
Well, I'm sure you noticed that I used one picture that you probably did not intend for me to use, where you're giving a big smile and your beard is coming halfway off your face.
Yeah, I noticed that one. I didn't say anything.
Oh, thank you for not... It was too funny. I couldn't not use it. It was just such a funny picture. It looked intentional. But anyway, yeah, so are you asking how I did the blinking views for people where I didn't have pictures of them actually closing their eyes?
Yes, I feel like we should explain that in the... you can explain how it works, but I've noticed that in the pictures folder, it has each picture, so it'd be like, happy saintly Santa, and then happy saintly Santa, eyes closed. It's like the exact same picture, just with the eyes closed.
Yeah, so I have those all. They're, so every character view in the game is basically coded as an animation. So when you go to the script, it isn't just like show saintly, it'll be show saintly blinking, and then saintly blinking is defined somewhere else in the script as an animation that randomly shows the two different frames. So, like, it's set so that it shows the open version by default, and then every, like, random interval of seconds, it'll show the closed version. It was based on some code that I found online, so I can't really claim credit for it. But yeah, so that was somewhat straightforward for people that we hired to take their pictures for the game, because I could just ask someone and please take a picture where your eyes are closed, and I could use that for the Photoshop that in for the closed images. for stock models, I would just find random pictures online of people blinking and try to make it match, basically.
Yeah, I noticed one person had, like, sunglasses.
Yes.
I wonder if that was another trick I started using. Blinking animations.
That was another trick I used to save time at the end. Few more people with sunglasses on. But yeah, it's really like the character that I refer to in the script as Bat Boy, the little kid mm-hmm. who's dressed in like the Halloween costume. So his eyelids are definitely someone else's eyelids, for example. He is a Frankenstein. I gave him someone else's eyelids when he blinks. There's nothing weird or strange about that, or disturbing. Yeah, so that was something that we had to change that I wasn't super happy about, was we ended up using more stock photos just to save time. But also, speaking of the blinking animations, for the entire time I've been working on this game, I've been coding it so that you could turn the blinking animations on and off in case the player thinks they're disturbing, which they kind of are. Or just weird or distracting or whatever. I originally had code in place to disable that. Unfortunately, the very first person who tested the game figured out that the blinking animation stuff was broken. The code to turn it off, I should say, was broken and didn't work the way it was supposed to. So I had to cut that at the last minute and just set it to blinking by default. Yeah, I mean, I can explain what was wrong about it. It's really dumb. The way it's coded is that for each time a new character view is shown, the game checks whether blinking is enabled or disabled. If it's enabled, it shows the blinking animation. If it's disabled, it just shows the eyes open static image. And then you can go into the options menu and click a little button to turn that variable on or off. The problem is, if you turn the variable off, and then go back into the game, all the characters currently visible on the screen are still blinking because those are the views that were shown when they were brought out. So they don't stop blinking until they change views and we go through the next if-then statement.
Yeah, okay, so I mean...
Yeah.
You only turn off blinking for whenever a new character appears.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was, it's the sort of thing where if I had more time, then I might have been able to figure out a good solution, and that is something that's on my patch list, is to look into that more. But, you know, with only so many days until Christmas, I just had to totally disable it, and I made a joke about it in the options menu. I left the option in there, and it just says, it's like, disable creepy blinking animation, and it's just like, no and absolutely not are the only choices.
Yes.
Something like that. Because I thought that was funny. And also, if I removed that option from the options menu, there was just a big hole in the menu and it looked bad.
Oh, man, I hate it when that happens, because I was trying to get the options menu to work for Lost Oregon City Gold. It just doesn't. I don't know what's wrong with it. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's because I don't understand the complex code which goes into those extra menus. So, yeah.
Yeah. I briefly tried to rearrange it, and I'm like, there's no way for me to make this look good now, so I just made the fake option.
Well, I was going to ask, maybe you know, maybe you don't, but I don't know the way to change, like, the default texts, which appears like, it's like, do you really want to quit the game? Progress will not be saved.
Oh. There is, because I changed that for Cat President.
I mean, I know there has to be a way to do it, but I tried figuring it out. You know, I went on the RenPy website, and it's like, oh, they said it's simple, you just do this. I'm like, okay, let me do that. And boom, crash, not working. So...
yeah, I can I'll make a note to send you the code for what I used in Cat President.
Okay.
Yeah, because in Cat President, I changed it to ready to suspend your campaign, because that was a phrase that was being used a lot at the time. Nobody ever actually quits their presidential campaign. They only suspend them.
Well, that's because if you've got votes in the Electoral College, if you suspend if you quit, those votes like magically disappear into the ether. But if you suspend your campaign, they're held in place. That's a kind of a dumb explanation, but I'm told that's like the basic idea.
See, I just thought it was because they didn't want to admit they were quitting.
Well, no, I mean, like, what happens if, like, the top three people who are running for president all die of COVID, and suddenly, whoa, you're the winner with, like, one vote.
Oh, I see. Okay, that makes some sense. Huh.
Yeah, I guess it does make difference, what happens to your votes if you die.
Jesus.
I'm not sure they have an official answer to what happens if somebody wins, like, the presidential nod, but then they die before the, election or something.
Right. Well, we addressed
that. Actually figured that out.
Cat President 2. We made up our own thing. It's funny. We started the podcast saying, let's stop talking about depressing stuff. And then I went on for 15 minutes about all the stuff I had to cut out of Too Many Santas. But it was all almost entirely just superficial stuff that would bother me. But no one else is ever going to notice. We actually had one review that even like specifically talked about the character art. And they were like, wow, they didn't use any stock models at all. This is great. So we tricked that person, so that feels pretty good.
Oh man. Yeah, you avoided like the three stock models that are in every game, yeah.
But yeah, so despite, you know, having to do a little bit of a rush toward the end, I'm very, very happy with how the game came out, and I hope everyone listening to this has played it or is playing it or is going to play it and loves it. Because we also love it. We put a lot of work into it and it's a fun, goofy game.
Yeah. Oh no, I can't wait to replay it some more. I recently replayed it just I think yesterday or 2 days ago and got some of the achievements. So
oh cool, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, so that was another thing I did was that I delegated a bunch of stuff to Michael.
Oh. Oh yeah.
So I had
questions about
that
too.
Very, very helpful. Yeah, please.
Oh no, talk about like delegating achievements and then I'll my question tangential.
Sure. Yeah, so that was another thing that I ended up doing to try to push this game out the door faster is that I asked Michael to take care of some of the stuff that both takes a long time and I don't like. So I got Michael to put together a trailer which was awesome and hilarious and I love it. And I also had him brainstorm a bunch of ideas for achievements and also make the stupid little graphics for it that is one of the many things we always complain about on this podcast.
I thought, you know, making the achievement graphics were not that bad. But yeah, that was something that's like, it takes 2 hours to do how many achievements? What, 12, 15?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of achievements. But yeah.
It just takes a while. No, I thought it was trading cards were the ones that were super hard to do.
I don't know. The trading cards can be kind of simple, because they don't require any coding on your end. Mm-hmm. It's all 100% on Steam. Like you have to make the images, you have to make like a little logo for them, and write descriptions for them. Which certainly can take some time, but you don't have to do any coding for them, which is nice. It's all on Steam's end. Like it's just, you play the game for a half hour and you get a trading card. We have not been able to add trading cards to any of our games since, I believe, Awkward Steve? Maybe?
Oh, well, Cat the President Pizza has trading cards, right? I don't know.
The first one does. Yeah, I think we only have... I think it's just Cat President 1, The Beard in the Mirror, and Awkward Steve that were deigned to have trading cards.
And then they changed the rules before, about what you have to do in order to get trading cards, basically.
Yeah, Steam doesn't believe that our games are real enough to get trading cards.
That sounds like Steam. So I was gonna say with achievements, I tried to do the programming for achievements in the Oregon City. I don't know if I did. I feel like there should be something else that I have to do.
Oh gosh, it's changed a few times, I think. So I think there might be some steps I do that aren't even necessary at this point that I just have done because that's how you've always had to do it. I think it's supposed to be a little simpler now. But the problem is you can't test them until like you're actually like have the game public or you have the game uploaded to Steam. Not like public, but you can't do it until you have a build on Steam to test it on.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah, no, I've totally forgotten what to do. All I have is the code for granting achievements, but there has to be something you do on Steam's end, like give them a list of achievements, right? And give them names.
Yes, all of that is true. Have you done achievements before? Did you do them for the Mermaid game?
I think, I mean, I did them for the Mermaid game, but I don't remember. It's been too long, so. I see, like, for this one scene, like, okay, there's an achievement for clicking on this tree, or, I mean, clicking on the elevator button in the elevator, and it's just, like, the variable is achievement.grants elevator enthusiast, and then a variable saying persistent achievement 4 equals true. I'm like, there's got to be more to having an actual achievement to appear on Steam than just writing that in the code.
Wait, what was that second code? Achievement equal 4 equals true. What was that?
It was persistent.ach4 equals true in quotation marks. I don't even know if that's correct. I don't know. It was in my script for the Mermaid game after every achievement, so I just kept that in
there. No. I'm not. That one might not be necessary, but I'm not sure. So I'll tell you what I have in the code real quick. So for example, here's an achievement in Too Many Santas. It's called Getting Coal. It's for if you answer all the bad answers in a pathway. So it just the code is literally like it checks when you get to the end of the pathway. It's like if your love meter is 0, that means you didn't answer a single good answer. That part doesn't matter. The whole code is just $achievement.grant getting coal, and then it's granted. That's all you have to do in Renpy's end, I believe.
Okay, and getting coal, that's like in quotation marks in the oh my gosh.
Yeah,
parentheses. Right.
$achievement.grant(getting_coal) end parentheses. That's the whole thing.
Here's a stupid question, or might not be stupid. Yes. Programming always seems stupid to us, but
yes,
you said it's getting underscore coal. Is it okay if it's getting space coal?
I don't know that it is. I'm not sure if Steam likes that. I've always used underscores, so I don't know if there's a reason I've done it, but that's how I've always done it.
Because there's a lot of things where I notice it doesn't like spaces.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, I've got this screen right here. It's called Scene 7-1 Special Elevator Close-Up, which gives you a close-up of the elevator in Scene 7-1 Special.
Oh, nice.
But you have to have underscores. I have an underscore in every single thing, because RenPy doesn't like spaces on screen names for whatever reason.
Let's see.
Which sounds
scenes,
like a
I think
problem.
For scenes, you might be able to get away with it, like... I'm looking at it now. I have Scene Toy Store Front, and that's all. There's all just spaces in there.
Well, is Scenes the one where, or maybe Labels or Scenes, one of them doesn't
labels,
like it if you
yeah.
start it with a number. So every scene is, I call it Scene 1, Scene 2, because I used to write just Label 1, but that it didn't like that.
Labels I have with underscores, so I think those do require the underscores. Scenes do not.
Oh man, I don't know the difference between. Yeah, anyway,
I don't know. So much of this programming is me typing whatever makes sense and then running the game, and if it doesn't give me an error, then I feel good about it.
Okay, so I'm guessing with the achievements, the persistent dot achievement thing was just for an achievement which checks if you've gotten every single achievement, and then it gives you like the completionist achievement. Maybe
that's
what
probably
I invented
right,
that for.
Yeah. That's what that must be, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because we've had stuff like that. Well, we have it in this game too, where I use variables to check. Gosh, here it is. It checks whether you've gotten all of the good endings or all of the bad endings. So that's sort of similar. If persistent.sad_naughty equals yes, and then same for all of the pathways, and then if all of them equal yes, then you grant a different achievement. Anyway.
So achievements are weird. I'm just, I guess, trying to confirm. At some point, I need to send, like, we just give Steam a list of all the achievements and the pictures.
Yes.
And probably a description for each one. Okay.
Yeah, so Steam, on Steam's end, once you've done your achievement.grant all over your script, then on Steam's end, once you start like making a Steam page, uploading the build to it, one of the options in the Steam dashboard is for adding achievements on that end, and it's you have to give them what the achievements like code is. So, you know, in this case, the one I'm looking at right now is Christmas_trader. So you have to tell them that that's what your achievement is referred to in the code. And then you have to say what the name of the achievement is, which in this case would be Christmas Trader, no underscore, and a description, which in this case is make a spooky accusation. After that, you have to upload an image, an icon for the achievement for when it has been achieved, and a slightly different version for when you have not achieved it yet. That's usually just a black and white version.
Oh my gosh, I didn't send you any of those, did I?
Oh, I was able to, the black and white stuff, that was easy. I actually just found a website that let me convert it, like them in a big batch to black and white.
Oh, that's,
that's
easy then.
Very easy. Okay. Yeah, I didn't actually know I could do that before. I was just doing it in Photoshop, but I was like, you know, I bet there's a website for that. And there was. So that you have to do all that stuff on Steam's end to tell it that these are what your achievements are. And then from there, it probably works. Like I said, there might be another step that that's too complicated and annoying to go into on a podcast, and I'm not sure is even still necessary.
Okay.
Might be left over from the early days of achievement implementation, so we can worry about that if we need to, but that's sort of the gist.
Okay.
And that's how you do it with RenPy. I have no idea how you do it with any other engine. Like, we never added achievements to the Beard in the Mirror because I couldn't really figure out how to do it in AGS, so it just never happened.
Okay, so do achievements need to be, like, gosh, capitalized? I know capitalizing sometimes makes a difference.
I don't know if it has to, but it probably has to be consistent between what you put in the like the RenPy code and what you put on Steam's dashboard. So like,
okay.
Christmas Trader here has a capital C, capital T, so you have to make sure you do the same thing on Steam.
Okay, it looks like some of the things I capitalized and other ones I didn't because I'm totally inconsistent like that. Okay,
that might not matter as long as it's consistent between the two things. Doesn't matter if like one achievement is capitalized.
Okay, I capitalized Oregon.
Sure.
That's weird. But Numinist, I also capitalized that. I'm just going to change it in the script to not be capitalized every single time.
Numinist.
For finding all the coins.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Oh, it's Latin. Bound. Okay.
It is? Oh, no, it just means coin collector, I thought, is what that word meant.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. It looks like it's derived from the Latin Numen. Okay, of course, yeah. Like Numen.
I don't know who Numen is. But it probably means something
from
in
Seinfeld.
Latin. Yeah, oh, that guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still have my ancient Latin thing. Let's look it up. Oh, Numa is just a Roman name. Okay. Wow.
Oh, it doesn't... Surely it means, like, number or something, right?
No, I'm looking up Numa. It's like it's just a Roman name. Some people are named Numa. Examples are Numa Pompilius and Numa Martius.
Okay.
Okay. So, I guess he was a big fan of... one of them was such a big fan of coins. It became...
He was the first Numinist.
Yeah.
So speaking of Oregon City, the Lost Oregon City Trail. So what should I be doing next? I mean, I know for the Oregon City Trail game, I need to like take pictures for my character specifically. But like, do I have a project right now? Like how Too Many Santas was like my big programming project?
I'll see if I can... Sorry, I got distracted. You're right. I think it's Numismatist, this person who collects... Oh, so it's not Numinist. That's... I confuse Numinist
with... Who's a Numinist?
Numismatist. Well, then what's a Numinist? I don't know.
What's a Numismatist with you?
I don't know what any of these words are. Okay, so it's just Numinist is a completely made-up word that I made up. Wow, that's great. That's good. Glad we caught that.
Numinist. Yes, That's why we do this podcast.
So now we don't look stupid. Okay.
We wouldn't want to be the stupidest.
The Numa stupidest. I don't know.
Barely a pun. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I have no idea what to do with the Lost Oregon trail, the Oregon City. So I had a list of things for you to check at one point, but then I decided, mm-hmm. no, they look good enough. I don't need Paul's approval. But
yeah.
Really, what the next thing to do is just for you to like play through the game, and just mm-hmm. give thoughts about it. So Uncle Elmo, who is a placeholder character, now I've got an actual person playing Uncle Elmo. Now it's cousin
Excellent.
Amy.
Cousin okay, Amy. Cool.
And I've got a bunch of music. I'm not sure I did the music correctly, but I think I did. So. Basically, what I need from you is to mm-hmm. play through the game and let me know if it actually works.
Okay, I should be able to do that. Might not be until next week. We're gonna see. My schedule has certainly opened up now that Santa's game is done. But I also have been buried in contract work because I was working on Santa's and mm-hmm. getting behind and everything else.
Oh, I was gonna say I don't know how to do the save and load at all. So that like was something I was fighting
screens.
With. Yeah. There was like stuff that I needed to hashtag out because otherwise the save and load screens wouldn't work. And I think there's like an invisible screen which is above the save and load. I have no idea if I'm doing it right, but
yeah, that sounds about right.
Other than that, that was something I should be pretty done. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was wondering if like you wanted me to move on to doing like finishing touches on Oregon City. I get it wrong every time.
Oregon City.
If
yeah,
you wanted
Oregon.
Me to work on the finishing touches stuff, and you wanted to move on to something else, either writing or coding a different project, we could probably try to figure that out. If you wanted to do it that way, that was the only thought I had.
Yeah. No, I think at this point just. Play through the Oregon Trail game and like come up with a list of finishing touches to do. I don't know
how done
it is. I also don't know how testing and testers work. That's also something.
yeah. Actually, I've been keeping like a long list on my computer. That's just like. Generic things to remember to do before a game is finished.
That's great.
Very,
yeah.
very helpful. Yes. I was using that for too many Santas, and I can apply that here too. I mean, it's a lot of reminders of stuff like make a save menu, make a main menu, add the splash screens to the beginning, add achievements, stuff like that. Do testing, like you were just saying. You've already put it through a decent amount of testing too, or at least like. Like not necessarily bug testing, but like puzzle testing, I guess. Like you've had play testing.
It was only the first one. Nobody's play tested any of the other puzzles besides just me. I guess you. You did the graveyard. Graveyard puzzle. So I had like three people do the graveyard puzzle and three people do the first puzzle of the game. But you know that's scenes 3 and 4 of like 20. So nobody's touched the other ones.
I think that's a good sort of working plan though. I'll play through it and I'll come up with the list of finishing touches, stuff that still needs to do, and anything else I find, and we can sort of figure out how to get that stuff done from there.
I also figured out I fixed the bug in the Oregon Trail portion of the game because you said what happened is you got messages twice in a row, like John Cena was cured of cholera, and then he was cured of malaria, like immediately after. And it's like, wait, he's not sick anymore. How could he be cured again?
So, yeah.
Easy fix. I just made it took me forever to figure out what the bug was, but it ended up being an easy fix because I just copy pasted like some code and didn't change the number. So like character one, it's like display character one's name saying they got sick. And so just there was one slip up where I didn't change it to character two. And that's That's how John Cena was got cured. So it wasn't really John Cena getting cured the second time. It was somebody else.
It was supposed to
be
a different character. Got it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good job checking that out. I think I saw that you were testing it the other day and your character brought back like 300 pounds of squirrel meat or something.
Yep.
I liked that. I liked that a lot.
Yep. The game does like a random number generation between 2 and 400, and that's how many pounds of squirrel meat you collect.
Amazing. Amazing.
The type of animal you choose to hunt changes how much food you can get, and the game occasionally checks see how much food you have left, and then it subtracts it. I've never actually gotten it where somebody starves to death because you didn't collect enough hunting food, so maybe I made the hunting too easy, but whatever.
Yeah, I really like that, Tsukins. I like all the randomness of it, the variables, the dice rolls, whatever you want to call it. I kind of love that stuff in visual novels. So it's cool that you're playing around with it in this game. It's not something we've really done much before. So that's a lot of fun.
If your character is a hunter, they get more. So let's see. I don't even know what I was thinking when I programmed this. So if your character is a hunter and they hunt for squirrels, automatically 500 pounds of squirrel meat. That's just automatic.
Okay. Hunters are just really good at squirrels.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah.
But if you're a buffalo, if you're hunting for a buffalo, it randomly picks a number between 2 and 1,500 pounds. But if you're a hunter, it picks a number between 1,000 and 2,000 pounds. So you're almost guaranteed to get more if you're a hunter. The odds are tilted in your favor.
Ah, so fancy. And here I was poo-pooing you adding an Oregon Trail minigame to this way, way back when. I was like, no, it's too hard. Let's not do it. But
It really took forever. Yeah.
Well, see, it was more I didn't want to do it, so you did it, and that makes it so much better.
Well, no, I had like two different ideas of how to make it work, and neither one was fully fleshed out, and now it's sort of a Frankenstein zombie of both.
Yes.
So that's great. So the actual hunting, you might notice, it's a scripted event, so it only happens like the once. It happens once, and it happens at a specific point. If there are 121 days left before you reach the end of the Oregon Trail, that's when you go hunting.
Okay.
And I had to program it like that because, you know, some of the options were, hey, you got lost and now you're stuck. So like 7 extra days are added to your total of how many days are left.
Right.
So you got lost wandering in the woods. And then I had to immediately go back and fix that because that broke. Because it's like if you go hunting on day 120, but then you get lost immediately afterwards, it's like, oh, okay, then it sends you back to day 120. Yeah. And I mean, it's okay with hunting, but when it comes to like crossing the river, it's like, oh, okay, you're crossing the same river twice. How did that happen?
Oh, boy. Isn't programming fun?
Yeah.
Am I remembering correctly? I think at one point there was like you had like two different difficulty modes too. Is that correct? Is that still in there? I haven't played in a little while.
There are three different difficulty modes. Yes.
Three difficulty modes. Awesome.
And they don't always come into play. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like hunting, the only thing that comes into play is if you're actually a hunter. But So in easy mode, Well, when it's rolling a dice to determine an event, in easy mode, good events are twice as likely, but in hard mode, bad events are twice as likely, and in normal mode, events are just normal likely. So, let's see, on easy mode, it picks a number between 1 and 5, on medium mode, it picks a number between 1 and 4 for events, and then on the difficult mode, hard mode, it picks a number between 1 and 6. And like with sickness, if you're a doctor, it does like an extra dice roll, giving you like a 50-50% chance of healing somebody rather than like a 1 out of 4 chance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So it sort of makes all the random dice rolls, like it gives you a greater advantage on those dice rolls than you would have the easier the mode is.
That makes sense. But it affects, I try to make it like it specifically affects what you're doing. So, like, the doctor has an easier time.
Sure.
Also, when you're crossing rivers, easy mode gives you... It does a dice roll based on how tall the river is and how... I actually did, like, historical research. It's like, okay, what's the maximum height of the river? What's the minimum height of the river? So
this
on
sequence
easy mode,
is, like, the most in-depth thing we've ever put in a game. This is incredible.
Yes. Easy mode, it's giving you, like, an extra 30 height. If you're trying to ford the river, it gives you an extra... So suddenly you grew 30 feet to make it more likely
that you can walk across
the river without drowning. And then medium mode, your height is adjusted by 15. And then the hard mode, just one. And then similar things happen whether you're trying to caulk the river. So the river, I think the river goes down or whatever, something like that.
Oh, so cool. I'm sorry I ever doubted this idea.
No, it's weird. And like I said, too much bug fixing.
Yeah. So speaking of Oregon City, the lost Oregon City gold I got there. I think we mentioned that I'm playing a character. I still have to take my photos for the character. So two things related to that. One is that I told you this, Michael, but to end the saga for anyone listening, I finally canceled the order for my elevator t-shirt and got a refund because they were never, ever, ever going to send me my t-shirt ever.
I went and visited them in person, and you're correct, yes.
Yeah, you actually went there twice, it sounds like. The first time the gift shop wasn't open. The second time, I guess it turned out that the shirt I wanted, like, it was only in the display case. They weren't actually selling it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that makes no sense, because the person's like, oh, we only have these two shirts, but there are five different shirts. Do they have, like, all five of the shirts on their store?
They did at the time. So I guess that must be, like, the answer to this mystery, right, of what was going wrong, is that there was no t-shirt to ship. That's why they never shipped it. But for some reason, that information could not be communicated to me. So it was just a lot of back and forth and email threads trying to figure out what was going on. And I guess the ultimate thing was that the t-shirt did not exist, and that's why they couldn't send it to me. But anyway, so I'll just have to wear normal clothes. That's fine. I won't wear a cool elevator shirt. The other thing with that is that I was wondering if it's okay if I wait a little longer to take the pictures, because I have reason to believe I'm getting a tripod for Christmas, like we had talked about a few months ago.
Yeah.
Where you pointed out that, like, oh yeah, you should just use a tripod. And I was like, oh, I guess that makes more sense than piling a bunch of board games on top of a chair.
Well, I was surprised. I probably shouldn't have been surprised, but like in the credits of Too Many Santas, you actually give my wife credit for taking the pictures of me. So yeah. It's like, oh, Paul just took pictures of himself. That's right. I have no idea how to do that without, like, stretching my arm out really far, I guess. Set a camera on a tripod with an instant timer. I guess that's... Yeah. You probably used a timer, didn't you?
I did use a timer, but I did not have the tripod. I just had a bunch of board games sitting on a chair. So now I'm going to be able to put those two things together. So that's why I wanted to just wait a little longer, just so I can have an excuse to try out the new tripod and see how that all works. I think that'll be cool.
That makes sense,
I think the tripod actually claimed that it came, like, it might come with some sort of remote that connect, like a Bluetooth remote that connects to your phone so you can take the picture with it, like, without, instead of using a timer. Of course, then I'd have to find a way to, like, hide the remote. Otherwise, it'd be visible in the picture. But there might be a way.
The remote has, like, a 3-second timer. It can.
Oh.
I don't know.
But yeah, so that all sounds really cool, too. I'm excited. I'm excited to play around with all that stuff. So, yeah. So that'll be happening at some point after Christmas. I was about to say after I get back from Christmas, but with all the COVID, it's still uncertain what our travel plans are going to be.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Why did I bring it back? I'm so sorry. All right. Let's see. What else? Anything else we want to talk about? We didn't get any listener questions this month.
Oh, we don't have old listener questions.
Gosh, we might. I don't have them written down, though.
Oh, it's okay.
I can check Twitter.
I don't know. You said there's something about Pizza Boy being a Spider-Man game. Gosh. Is that it?
It was just this random Let's Play that I saw tweeted out as of this recording. It came out today. It's like a guy who was trying to do a Let's Play of a game, a Spider-Man adjacent game, to celebrate the new movie that will be out by the time you listen to this. And he kind of thought the title and theme of Pizza Delivery Boy kind of fit that, kind of felt like a Spider-Man-esque.
It's not saving the world, which is Spider-Man-esque, it's Pizza Delivery Boy.
It's the fact that it's the Delivery Boy saving the world, I think, because I think Spider-Man has worked as a Delivery Boy in various incarnations.
He has, okay.
Yeah, it's definitely in, the second Tobey Maguire movie, which I know because I just rewatched all of those.
He is? Oh. I thought he was a camera picture taker. That's just how much I remember.
He does both.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I was very much enjoying that take, so I tweeted out that, yes, it is canonical that that Doug Rivers is actually Spider-Man.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I think
put
that
me
checks
in,
out.
Into the Spider-Verse, yeah.
Yes, yes. I think you're actually in the new movie. You just don't know it yet.
Okay. Darn, now I have to go see the movie and watch myself.
Yeah, I hope it's okay that I gave up your image rights.
Hopefully I got a royalty out of it. I don't know.
I got distracted trying to find if there were any old questions on Twitter to answer. Do you remember if we ever asked a question about our favorite type of rock?
Igneous? I don't know. I don't know any other types of rock. I was just guessing. Is there like a cool volcanic kind of rock I can pick?
Yes. And
types of
it
rocks.
Is called, as we all know, it has the name that has this name, and it's a type of rock. Basalt? No.
List of rock types. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh. I bet basalt's a type of rock. Yeah. Basalt is a type of igneous rock. Okay.
Basalt is what I do to my French fries.
Oh, no. Stop basalting me with those puns. God.
This is over. We have to end this right now. Okay. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefump, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit orock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is by Fifth Avenue. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@orock.com. Is there anything you'd like to add, Michael?
Please buy too many Santas. I think my wife wants to see more sales. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
She did like the fact that the game was on sale, but I think it was just you and her. I don't think any of my friends liked it besides you two. I'm like, oh,
is
no.
Is Katie going to shut down O-Rock Studios because we're not selling enough games?
I don't know what she's going to do.
Please buy our games so we don't get shut down by Michael's wife. Bye, everyone. A story will be told. Is it basalt? It differs from igneous rock, according to Wikipedia. Does that help? Man.
I don't know, volcanic, a type of volcanic rock, oh my, Ben Moretti, I can't even pronounce it.
I'll tell you, my favorite type of rock is punk rock.
All right, my favorite type of rock is Dwayne the Rock Johnson, so you see the other joke, yeah.
Perfect, I think we got it. Okay.
There's a type of rock called tough, T-U-F-F. Okay, tough rock? That's cool.
Wait, what's tough rock? Hang on.
It's made of volcanic ash during an eruption.
So it's a relatively soft... It's a soft rock? It's called
but it's
tough.
Called tough. That doesn't make sense.
What? It was used
to make the statues on Easter Island. That's so cool.
We're literally just reading the same Wikipedia page.